Hey, Shelby.
Hey, Nick.
Oh my God, John's back!
And it's, what was this thing called?
Stranger Still.
Okay. Thanks. It's been a, you guys sound cute together. You guys should, date.
I was talking to the viewers.
Oh.
The listeners.
Oh, them.
Welcome back. It's been a week since you've listened to my beautiful voice.
And about a month and 3 years since you've listened to mine.
Yeah. John Nananathan is back.
John Nananathan. It's fluent. It's like a river. John Nananathan.
Jonathan.
That's what I have to name my son, because my dad's name is John and I'm Jonathan, so my son has to be John and Jonathan.
Well, I think we've told this joke before, unless I edited it out.
No. It's time to start polishing up those gems, Nicholas.
Yeah.
We've got some good stuff in the beginning.
That we need to bring back.
People are never going to listen to that. Yeah. So, yep. Time to start rehashing, recycling.
So you got to tell the full story that your dad's name is John, yours is Jonathan, and your mom's name is Linda, right?
Yeah, my sister's Lindsay.
Yeah, so you're John and your son's name will be John and Jonathan.
Yep.
And your sister's daughter's name will be Lindsay Zizzy.
I never got that far.
Lindsay Zinzy.
See? We're polishing those gems and evolving
them. We'll get there. It's like the rocks and the gullet of a chicken.
Hmm.
Learned that one from reading Jurassic Park.
That is gross.
What? They eat rocks so that they can digest food better.
Okay. Didn't we used to do that? Wasn't that gallbladders?
Maybe. I don't know enough about human anatomy. Jeez. I just know stuff about chickens and dinosaurs.
I thought that all bladders are gallbladders. Go on.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
This is Stranger Still.
And this is a podcast.
Do you remember the whole intro?
Yeah, it's a podcast.
Keep going.
And we talk about... Well, here's the thing.
No, I'm not letting you go off the rails. I spent the last 3 weeks reining it in.
Yeah. Stranger things than you're used to hearing about that you would question to ask with your questions.
Wow. This week, what are we talking about?
Bad movies.
Bad movies. Which is, I think, everyone's not so guilty pleasure. Like, everyone loves watching bad movies.
Yeah.
Like, what's your favorite bad movie?
Right now, I was thinking about that all day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't come up with a conclusive one.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with, like, Ricky O.
I haven't seen that.
It's
but
great.
You posted the GIF on our Facebook group.
Yeah, he just kind of punches through people.
Yeah, and smashes heads like watermelons.
Rips their hands in half. And
yeah.
It's just like so goofy and fun.
Yeah.
But I grew up, me and my friends went to, me and my friend Joe Matrani and Javi Khan and Matt Clooney.
All those made kids, up names.
All these made up names, Connor Pryor. We used to go over to, and Brandon Hall.
Forget him.
We go to my other fake friend's name. I forgot already. And we would look up the top 10 most disturbing movies in the world on IMDb. Like this list that somebody made. We watched every single one. It was a terrible experience.
And now you have no emotions.
I have no emotions left. And I am so desensitized. But through it, I got to watch like Itchy the Killer, The Audition, Cannibal Holocaust, all the good stuff, all the classics.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of those.
So I wouldn't say that they're all bad movies, but a lot of them are pretty terrible. In different ways.
I don't know if it counts, but Kung Pao, remember that movie?
Yeah, Enter the Fist.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite bad movie, but it's intentionally bad, so I don't know if that's...
I'll tell you what.
If that counts.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I don't remember caring for it that much.
Really?
But, have you seen Kung Fury?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the one with the, he like goes to the village, and he's like, I don't remember it that well.
Kung Fury's newer.
Yeah.
He goes and he fights Hitler.
Nope, haven't seen that.
Okay, you would like that.
Hitler?
Yeah, you would like that a lot better than Kung Pao. And so everyone is nodding right now.
But I don't remember any Hitlers.
Kung Fury has Hitler in it. He's the main bad guy.
Huh. What am I thinking of then?
Kung Pao, maybe.
No, there's one where like he goes to the... There's the gif on Reddit all the time where he's like trying to choose a wimpy person to fight. And he like points to a kid and the kid steps out. He's got giant muscles. and then he like chooses this lanky dude. We got way off topic there, but
not really. Bad movies.
Bad movies. Yeah. How do they get made, though, is the question that we're going to explore today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we've all sat down at a movie, and if it was intentionally bad, like Kung Pao, or actually bad, like, what's that soccer movie? United something?
Bad Dad Soccer Dad?
No. There's one that's, like, rated one on Metacritic. I think it's United...
United Passions?
Passions, yes.
So, basically, this is a Flophouse fan cast today.
Yeah. Well... it's funny because we came up with this idea because one of our friends, Ashley, and I got into a fight over Transformers
mm-hmm.
because those movies are notoriously bad, but she loves them, unironically. Like, she literally said if I could only live with one movie franchise for the rest of my life, it would be Transformers.
Well, I think you're being a little harsh on her because I think it's really important to the gay community. Transformers, Robots Into Guys. And I think that it's kind of like... I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any, but...
I thought I misheard you when you said gay community.
Robots Into Guys?
Anyway.
That was just stupid. I'm just warming up.
So then we came up with this topic, and then I was listening to the newest episode of The Flophouse, and literally at the end of the first half of their episode, Elliot Kalin goes, "How do these bad movies keep getting made?" And I was like, well, good thing I'm covering that today.
So, this is to our number one fan and listener. Please stop writing in. Elliot Kalin.
Yeah.
This goes out to you.
Finally, you get that shout out you've been waiting
for.
Oh,
man, yeah. He's unrecognized, literally underappreciated, Elliot Kalin. What a great dude.
Yeah.
I started joking, and then I was like, no, he deserves this.
Yeah, he deserves it. He really deserves it. But this, it turns out the reason that bad movies get made are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I thought of when we came up with the topic was Uwe Boll, who any video game nerds out there will probably recognize that name. He did such gems, as everyone knows, the film version of Far Cry and Alone in the Dark, and movies no one's ever seen. We'll get into why, though.
Yep.
Much, much later. I also want to point out that there's a notion that movies these days are getting worse and worse. Like, I used to think that. I was like, movies these days are so bad. Whatever happened to Ghostbusters and Jurassic Park 1, not 2 and 3. But, you know, I'm a nerd and I love numbers.
Yeah.
I spend my whole day doing numbers. And like 2 years ago, I took all of the data off of Metacritic, which, if anyone doesn't know what Metacritic is, it's a site that takes like movies and TV shows and games and stuff and averages every single critical score that it gets, and it's got a Metascore.
Okay. So it's kind of like Metacritic, where they review Metacritic reviews.
Yeah. Okay. But I took all of the data off of there. It was like 90-some pages worth of data, and I graphed it out, and the movie's ratings actually went up over the years. So I quietly deleted that spreadsheet and went on with my life. But, hey, I changed my views. The problem is that there's a lot more movies out there today, and it's easier to make movies, which just means that there's saturation with anything. As it gets easier, there's a lot more people doing it.
And also, not everything's going to be, like, the best movie you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
So if something's really good,
yeah,
people aren't going to be like, yeah, that was really good. And go out of their way to, like, spread, this was pretty good! I thought this was okay! You should probably see it.
Yeah.
If you have time.
Yeah.
People aren't as, like, but if they don't like it, Oh man.
That's why, like,
out of their way.
If I don't hear something about a movie on Facebook, I'm like, then it must have been okay. But if I hear, like, oh, it was awful, oh, it ruined my childhood, or whatever.
Then,
like,
it could be great or it could be terrible.
Yeah. But before we get into it, I want to know if there's a bad movie that you really, really enjoy, and not in an ironic way, like you actually like it, but you recognize that it's bad.
Again, it's like, that's when someone says, oh, what kind of music do you listen to?
Yeah.
And you're like, I wish I could curse on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's too much to think about. I guess, like, Takeshi Miike films are pretty bad.
Yeah.
He did Ichi the Killer, and he does, like, Gozu, I think he did. And
I don't know that one.
And Visitor Q, like, that stuff's just kind of gross, like, indie, like, smut.
Yeah.
But, like...
Well, here's my examples.
Okay.
Because the first one that always comes to mind is the movie Out Cold. Have you ever seen that one?
Is it the zombie one?
No. It's about some snowboarders in a snowboard town. It's got Zach Galifianakis in it. It's like probably 10 or 15 years old now.
Yeah.
And when I first saw it, me and my brothers, we loved it. Like, we watched it nonstop, and we thought it was the most hilarious thing in the world.
Yeah.
And then, like, 5 years later, I looked it up on Metacritic. It's got, like, 20 out of... No, I think it's got 22 out of 100.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Score. I was like, wow, nobody likes this movie except for me and my brothers.
Yeah. But that movie, I think, aims for that. It just got dumb, like, teenage humor.
It is pretty bad. It's got the best quote in the world, which is, "Carpe diem, seize the carp." So good.
You're a big nerd.
Yeah. And then my other one was Lone Ranger, which I watched on a recommendation of a friend. And they're like, "Have you seen Lone Ranger?" I was like, "No." They're like, no, watch it. And it's so over the top, and it's so funny. It's great. I love it.
Oh, man.
Once you get past the whitewash Johnny Depp, then it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Elliot Kalin was talking about him getting cringy.
Yeah.
About watching some of his favorite old movies. He's like, ooh, yikes, that's kind of racist.
Yeah.
You kind of got power through it. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot, especially with older movies. Mm-hmm. Like Pinocchio or Dumbo. Those are bad.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I've been practicing since I've been off.
Yeah.
But much like older movies, newer movies can still be bad. Let's discuss. How's the first transition?
You've been practicing your segues?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of local news.
How do you... I was about to ask, how do you practice segues? But,
back to you, Nick.
I did get off topic. So, let's get the obvious reasons out of the way for why bad movies get made. Sometimes the writing is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just a bad director.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a great director and a bad writer, or a bad writer and the opposite.
The other thing. Yeah. It could just be bad acting. Like, you could have cast Nicolas Cage for some reason.
He's okay. Give him a good script. Get back to me.
Okay, good point. It could be a limited budget. Like, they have this big, huge vision, and then they got, like, $100,000 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they wanted to make The Matrix on a student film budget,
yeah.
Which is, you know, ramen noodles.
But you could go the opposite way. Like, that time travel movie where they spent, like, $30.
Oh.
I can't remember the name of it.
Time Traveler, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Just a bunch, like, three guys in a room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What? Three guys in a room? Are you thinking of, Primer?
Yeah.
Was that expensive?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you mean it was low budget, but they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't... This might be controversial, but I didn't like that movie.
I didn't see it. You're free. You're free to go.
I don't...
Walk around with
I
that opinion.
I love time travel movies. Like, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah. I thought this is one where they got it right, is what I was told. Yikes.
Yes and no, because I love movies where they let the audience make their own conclusions, but they literally tell you nothing. So you can't draw your own conclusions unless you're an astrophysicist and you know things about wormholes and time loops and everything. So I had to go look up a video to explain everything to me because the movie left me nothing. So the people that say they like it are either astrophysicists or they're lying to you.
Okay, well, the person told me it is pretty much astrophysicist.
Yeah, there you go.
Smart Jesse Springer. All right.
The other thing is that they could go over budget, mm-hmm. which means later on they have to cut a bunch of stuff out. So maybe they had like this giant explosion planned for the end of the movie, but they spent all their money on training a horse to tap dance. And so they couldn't buy that explosion.
Yeah, or they put peanut butter in the horse's mouth and then your peanut butter budget's gone. That's how they did Mr. Ed, right?
Yeah. Poor peanut butter budget. It also could be money grabs, which we all know is great. Like, stuff that has a solid fan base, like Transformers or the new Assassin's Creed movie,
mm-hmm.
or even going back to, like, the beginning of video game movies with Mortal Kombat or Super Mario Brothers, where they know people are going to go see it, so just make it for whatever amount of money, and people are going to throw their money at it just to go see it.
Yep. Make any movie at all about Trump.
Yeah.
People are going to go see it.
Yes, true. But along those same lines with money grabs, that's where we get American remakes of foreign films that are awful. And I can't think of any right now for some reason.
Oh, Old Boy?
Old Boy is a really good example of that.
I don't want to see the American one. I get it. I get it. They liked it and they wanted to like My whole thing I don't want
it. It exists, and I know people are too lazy to go watch subtitles, but that's the wrong fault.
I really like that movie, but they're not. They don't look like me. I can't.
They don't talk English.
I can't relate to them. Yeah.
And it's also where we get stuff like Jaws 5 and Sharknado 4 and Tremors, whatever, where they're flying around. I think I've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah.
And the last thing that I got is, of course, merchandising, which always pisses me off. Like, you hear about the cartoons that get canceled because they didn't sell enough action figures. It's the same idea.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Really? Oh, man. Like, Animaniacs, not enough merchandising. So
really?
Took it off the air because Pokemon was making a crap ton of money off the merchandising.
Oh, man. I bought the Sega Genesis game. I did my part.
Great. Yeah. But Crack.com said that Disney and Pixar made upwards of $5 billion off of Cars alone. The first Cars.
Mm.
So, of course, they're going to rush out a sequel so they can keep that money train going. And sometimes the sequels can be good.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, if they're rushed out, like Cars 2, they're going to fall victim to a lot of things that we're going to go into.
Yeah, or it gets dark with, like, tanks. Like, Disney and Pixar tanks.
Yeah.
Man. Cute, but...
You know, I was fine up until they got to Disney Cars Hiroshima, where they brought in the atomic bombs.
Yeah.
Into that.
A lot of there were some cute parts, but...
Yeah.
No, this is bad.
Mater's cousin.
Mater?
Japater.
Japater?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
He's a Japan hater.
I don't like this.
Neither do I. So once you get beyond those obvious things, that's where it starts getting interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And... I've been really bad at this lately, so I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of this from crack.com and gideonsway.wordpress.com and a few other places that I'll call
And hey,
yeah.
Let's put it on the site.
Yeah. Make me do that.
I'm going to make you do that.
I have all my sources here. I just need to post them.
And if you guys haven't been there, it's strangerstillshow.com.
Yeah, we'll plug it at the end just in case you forget.
Yeah.
Now, there's a multitude of reasons that I'm going to go into, and you touched on this, that it could be one or many... or most, or all of these things listed below, or that I talk about here. But for some reason, all of these movies still get funded and created.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. The first reason is passion projects. Mm-hmm. So, have you seen The Room?
I haven't, but everyone that's listening to us has.
Exactly. That's an essential that you need to see. So, like The Room or No Deposit, which the Flophouse talked about, it's just... a movie where someone had some money and they had this idea for a movie that they thought would be good for some reason. And unfortunately that means they have a really strong artistic vision. And since they already have the money,
art.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
No, I mean like they just don't have a good artistic vision is the problem.
Oh,
especially when we get to like,
that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah. But it's a lot of people's opinions.
And that was another quote from a good movie.
Big Lebowski.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you forget the name?
Well, no, I was just kind of tossing that ball over there.
Oh, thanks. Hey!
Hey, let me catch this. Ho!
Let me lick this ball like Jesus.
Jesus?
Yeah. He's the one in the purple jumpsuit. He licks the ball like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've got a few true life horror stories that I want to provide you from screenwritingyou.com that teaches you how to write screenplays. I'm just going to sprinkle these throughout. So every time I tell a horror story, these are true horror stories from this website. Here's the first one regarding passion projects. A billionaire is offering $30 million to fund a movie if they use the script his daughter wrote for her screenwriting 101 class at college.
That's awesome.
No, because that's gonna be awful.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, I got money, you can't say no, I don't need producers, I get to give it the green light, do it. And I mean, gotta show up on IMDb at some point, right?
He's a job creator, Nick.
Sorry. Hashtag thanks Trump. With creative visions though, there's a lot that can go wrong, especially when like more than one person has their own idea of an artistic vision or direction they want to go with it. So like,
We don't have to have a vegan podcast, but you know, it's fine. It's good.
No, it's fine.
No, no. Yeah. No, bad movies. This is what I wanted to pick. This is good. But go on. What were you explaining?
Well, a host and his co-host could have a artistic vision disagreement.
Uh-huh.
Writers and directors can have disagreements. Directors and producers. Producers are the worst people because they provide all the money. So if you don't do what they want, then they just don't give you the money. Mm-hmm. So if they have a different artistic vision, there's a problem. And the worst thing that might happen is that they could snag an A-lister and they will make changes.
Yep. Or refuse to do the project with
that. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, they might ask for rewrites so they get more screen time or so their character does this instead of that. Apparently, though, they might also bring their friends on. They'll say, I'll only do this project if you bring so-and-so on as a writer.
Yep.
And this is another one of those horror stories. The star brings on their own writer who makes improvements in the star's part without regarding the rest of the story.
And then he showed his buff muscles and he said, I know I'm handsome, but this isn't about me.
And then his shirt just ripped off.
Oh, my shirt fell off.
Flexing.
Oh, I spilled all that oil.
Oh, it's all over my body. Oh. Good. But rewrites is, I think, the most common conflict that we hear about.
I want to touch on real quick about A-listers.
Yeah.
That can work in your favor, too.
Yeah.
Because some A-listers know they're doing a cash grab.
Yeah.
For example, Samuel L. Jackson refused to do Snakes on a Plane when they tried to change the title.
Yeah.
And he said, it has to be Snakes on a Plane or I'm not doing it.
Yeah, because people are going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot all about that movie because it was such a good meme for a week.
Yeah.
Monkey fighting snakes on some monkey fighting plane. Anyway.
Yep.
So with rewrites, though, it might not just be that they bring someone on. They might have one writer who started the project and then they don't like the direction he's going, so they boot him and then bring in a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the writer's having trouble with the script, so they bring on more than one writer. So there's like five people working on it, which is always the funny thing when you look at credits for a bad movie and there's like five writers and you're like, how did you not get this right? Well, that's the problem. There's five people writing it instead of just one or two.
Yeah.
But if you bring on a new writer, you can get stuff like continuity errors. You're also going to get probably a new vision for the story entirely. Maybe they don't understand why a character did something in the original script, so they don't understand the motivation in the original writer's mind.
It's kind of a miracle that any movie's good.
I know.
How many people are involved.
Right? It's crazy. But I feel like that's why I love the Ant-Man movie, but it was just a good movie. It could have been a great movie if Edgar Wright wasn't like, you guys are being stupid, and then walked away from the project. And then they brought a new writer and kept some of the stuff. Could have been great, but no. It was going to be like this awesome heist movie. There's a heist for like 10 minutes. That's it.
That sounds like it would have been pretty neat.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It's on my shelf. You can borrow it.
I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy either, or Captain America Winter Soldier, or Civil War.
I just need to like go through all my DVDs and Blu-rays and
You show me those. And we will watch Ricky O.
Okay, deal.
And Kung Fury.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen Kung Fury. No, Kung Fury is the one that was Kickstarter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen that
one. It's on Netflix for free.
Then what was that one I was thinking of? It's
for $5 a month. There's a lot of Kung Fu movies, man.
I know, but it's a parody. But it's actually Japanese or Chinese or something. I'll look it up later. Here's another horror story. The director decides he wants a writing credit and makes big changes so that he can meet the minimum WGA requirement to be included as one of the writers.
Writers Guild Association?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you know that I have a credit?
You do?
As a set designer.
Really?
Director of photography.
For what?
For a Gilbert's Iron and Steel commercial.
What is that?
Directed by Cody Bluesnyder.
Mm-hmm.
Where I made sure that the pile...
Friend of the podcast.
Yep.
He was on our show.
I made sure that... a big pile of steel in a oil barrel looked good enough.
Is that on your IMDb credits?
I should. He literally could. I don't know if it's listed.
Yeah, that's funny. This is kind of taken a new direction here, but I think one important thing to talk about is Oscar bait. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about Oscar bait?
I don't think we should talk about Oscar baitation on here. This is a family show.
You're right. I'm sorry. Cover your children's ears for this next segment.
And their eyes and their noses and mouths. No senses, please.
Yeah, just put a pillow over their entire head. They'll be fine.
Not too hard.
Right. You don't want to make it obvious.
Yeah. Just let them know his boss. Okay, go on.
So, sometimes there's a movie, like that dumb Edgar movie with Leo. J. Edgar, for J. Edgar Hoover.
Okay.
It was this really bad Oscar bait movie. It's always the same, and you watch Game Theory on YouTube. Have you ever watched their other channel, Film Theory?
No.
Well, they talk about it on there, and they have a really great video about it, but it's always like a biopic, a period piece, so it takes place in like the 40s, and follows a historical character. And some of those are great. Like, name one.
I heard Lincoln was pretty good, right?
Yeah. Or what's the one with Bumbadum Cumberbum?
Oh, Bumbadum Cumberbum.
Yeah. He was the Alan Turing?
Sure. I don't think I saw that.
The guy that...
Movies are good.
Yeah.
Some of them are good.
But, like, some of them are good.
Some of them are, like, even historically kind of inaccurate and still fun, like Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's on purpose, though. But instead of being a good story with good characters, they do what DC does, and they look at movies and say, that belongs in a movie, that belongs in a movie, and that belongs in a movie. Let's just put them all in there. But they don't pay any attention to making it relatable or making the story compelling.
Yeah.
Or having compelling conflict. So there's no reason to watch it. So they just want that Oscar.
Yeah. It's Act Two. Lincoln has to break up with his girlfriend. Oh, they're starting to get back together.
Yeah.
He loved her all along.
He broke up with her over Twitter. What a jerk.
Yep.
I remember seeing, this has taken it back a while, it was like one of the previews for Batman Begins, the first Christopher Nolan Batman movie.
Yeah.
And it was a trailer for a movie about a dude that invented the automatic windshield wipers. And it was so bad, but you could tell it wanted an Oscar so bad because it was a period piece. It took place in like the 70s or the 60s, and it was about this dude, and it tried to make the story of inventing windshield wipers seem compelling.
That sounds like bad writing, because I could see that being awesome.
I could see it being fun to read, but as far as a movie goes, like, they were like, oh man, this guy's trying to jip me out of money, and like, this dude over here is trying to invent it too, and like, they're stealing my patents and stuff, and it's like, I don't care.
My thing on that is, it's all about writing. You can make the most boring story the most interesting story if you want.
That's true. If you want tips on that, go listen to Day 9. I just listened to his tips on storytelling today. It's just like, if you have a story, say it. And then say it longer the next time. And then say it longer the next time. And longer the next time. And eventually, it'll just ramble on and it has to be good, right?
That's interesting.
The other thing that we hear about a lot is scheduling conflicts. So sometimes we'll get like
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. That's why Shelby was on the last two episodes, but yep. Whatever. But you get someone like Chris Pratt, who's so hot right now.
Yeah.
Oof. They need him for Jurassic World 2. They need him for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They need him for Parks and Rec 2.
Yep.
Electric Boogaloo.
The Office 4.
Office 4. But sometimes there's actors that are only available for like a week here or a week right there.
Dr. Seuss's Pratt in the Hat.
Yeah. Nice one. Slide that one in there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to distract
you. But here's another one of the horror stories.
Pratty Woman.
What?
Pratty Woman.
Oh, it took me a while.
Chris Pratt and Julie Robbins.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, go on.
The A-list actor is available in 3 weeks to start production, and the studio gives you 11 days to write the scripts. So he's available in 21 days, and you have 11 days to write a script for the movie that he's going to be in.
Yeah.
And one of the more horrifying things that I learned is sometimes shooting and release schedules are set in stone before the script is even done.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have all of the shooting stuff scheduled and a release date for the film, but we don't know what the story's going to be yet.
Yeah.
And many times those dates can't be changed because then they're released to the public and you can push it back.
I think when you're a little kid, you always think, when am I going to use this when I get older?
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to use this math or whatever?
Yeah.
Right? A lot of it I didn't. Okay? I have a phone. I ask Siri all the time how to do math problems for me and where to go and when to eat and when to breathe.
Yeah.
But on a major scale, when you grow up, you kind of learn everything's the same. You have due dates for things, for homework projects.
Yeah.
Except instead of a grade, you're getting money and there's real world consequences. But beyond that, like, the world kind of, like, schools are like a little microcosm for that stuff. And I think that the film industry works the same way.
Yeah.
You got to turn your homework in and you got everybody all lined up for the project.
Yeah.
But you got a short due date or you work last minute and everybody works different. So.
Yeah. And speaking of last minute, sometimes you'll just get behind schedule. And that means you got to cut stuff out. So maybe that scene that was pivotal to a plot point can't be filmed now.
Yeah.
Because the actor's not available or you're running out of time and you got to get it edited. So, like, sometimes you'll also see, like, deleted scenes that explain other scenes in movies. Once again, I can't think of any examples. But you'll be like, well, how do they get from point A to point B? Well, there's a deleted scene, but they had to take it out. So it's just stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can make a movie really bad.
Elliot always talks about Casablanca. A plane is on... They're on the tarmac. Yeah, and they're just explaining what happened. He catches another guy up while the plane goes by. Mm-hmm. But that's a brilliant use of that.
Yeah, so the audience doesn't have to sit through it. Yeah. That's like my favorite trope ever, though. It's just like when there's noise over something pivotal so you can't hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bad and it's done so often, but I love it. And sometimes they just don't care, John.
Yeah.
The people involved are already getting their money, so they're just going to... They don't care if it's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't care if their IMDb page is filled up with a talking cat and...
Or maybe the Flophouse is paying people to screw these things up so they have content.
That's true. That's very true. Like, Adam Sandler has gone on record many times saying, like, yeah, I keep making movies because then I get to go on vacation.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah, like, cool. You're making a bad movie just so you can go to Cancun? Sweet.
Why not, like, help people feel good in a world that's not so great right now?
Well, like, the other thing is, how the hell did he get a 5-movie deal from Netflix?
Because he made, like, pretty good ones back in the day. We've talked about
like
him before.
Like, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I don't understand how they didn't rip up the contract after Ridiculous 6.
Yeah.
And especially after whatever the new one was.
I don't know.
The do-over? Something like that. Another horror story for you. It's very similar. Director has a 3-picture deal and has always wanted to do a romantic comedy where everyone is murdered by zombies in the end. So him and his buddies write it over a weekend of whiskey and coke.
Oh, God. And these are all true stories from screenwriters.
These are all true, yeah. And this is where we get to my favorite guy in the world, Uwe Boll.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Canadian dude.
Can't do anything wrong.
The worst filmmaker ever. Even worse than Ed Wood.
Wow.
Yeah. So this guy, Uwe Boll, like I said, he made... he tried making a bunch of video game movies because it's a money grab in the first place. But he also had a few tax shelters set up in Germany. So what he would do was he would get a bunch of investors from Germany, and they had a law that you only had to report investments on returns of movies, and any losses were tax deductible. So they would get like half of that money back from the government if the movie flopped. So he set up this tax shelter in Germany, got a bunch of German investors, and made a bunch of terrible movies. Like, I think the best example was Blood Rain. Like, it cost $25 million to make and made, like, $2.5 million back.
Oh, good.
So he's getting, like, $10 million back from the government for free. So he did this for a really long time, and eventually they changed the law in 2006, finally. And he's been trying to get funding on, like, Kickstarter. He tried one on Kickstarter, probably got less than 10% of his goal. So then he's like, okay, we'll try it on Indiegogo. Got, like, less than 10% of his goal. And then he went on this giant tirade. He's like, you guys don't understand what I'm trying to do here. The Hollywood's the worst place ever. You're all hungry for money, blah, 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 blah. And then he quit filmmaking forever.
Oh, that's a good PR.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I should also say, I forgot to say this earlier, the reason that Germany did this was to incentivize filmmakers to make more films coming out of Germany, not so that you could abuse the law like some other great politicians that we might all know and love.
Mm-hmm.
But he also made, I think a lot of people have heard of Blubberella. Have you heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
Really? He did House of the Dead? That was a pretty classic one. He's done a lot, and they're all bad.
I don't know if I really like wasted my time on that. I don't know, but I don't know about it.
I haven't seen them. I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah.
But I've heard about them because they're bad.
All right.
But, yeah, he's worse than Ed Wood because Ed Wood's downfall was because his bad artistic visions and Uwe Boll's downfall.
Did you see the movie Ed Wood?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Love Tim Burton.
I just like wish I could like Johnny Depp, you know? I feel really pumped out.
Yeah. I wish you could too.
Well,
I like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm.
Really?
I mean, something's got to be on when you're sick.
That's why I watch. That's what I thought
National Treasure is for.
Yeah. Oh my god! Every teacher would play that during middle school, like on days where they just weren't feeling it. They'd always put on National Treasure. So I probably saw that movie like 50 times.
See, mine was Elf. Everyone put Elf on like 30
really?
Times. Yeah.
Well, National Treasure is like slightly educational.
Yeah.
Slightly. So I think that's why they figured they would get away with it. So there you go. There's all the reasons that bad movies get made for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I left anything out. And if I did, you're wrong.
Hey, that's a pretty good philosophy. It's an alternative fact, Nick.
Yeah. That's a topical reference. You want to give me a recap?
Yeah. There's no reason to complain about things you don't like, unless it's something that affects you, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to go out of your way to spread more negativity. And there are a lot of people involved in things. Sometimes it's fun. If you could get positivity out of making fun of something,
yeah,
that's great. But I think that there are a lot of people involved. And if you think about like all the things, when you're looking through the credits, the best boy gripped dropped something and then someone didn't get the lighting right on their face and it made them look weird and someone made a meme and it ruined the movie. Like,
yeah.
Like little things can explode into that. And on the other hand, everything's money.
Yeah. It's all money.
Everything is money. And those are the ones that is okay to make fun of because you want to hold people accountable to get better films.
Yeah. You took my money and now I want my money back. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Or quit seeing mediocre things.
That's true. I limit the things I see now because I have a kid.
And you don't have to feel like you got to catch up on things because everybody else is like, I didn't see Guardians of the Galaxy or Civil War, and I know they're probably pretty good.
Yeah.
I can watch them later.
Yeah, that's true. They're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And those are movies you should support if they're well written.
Yeah. That's why I get so mad when people are like, oh my god, Transformers is so good. I get mad because I'm like, support something that actually is good.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself to mediocre entertainment. You're wasting your money and your time.
The movies now I wish I could have seen in the theaters that I love. And
yeah.
Yeah. We can go on forever about this.
We could. But there's already a podcast out there for that. It's called The Flop House.
Go to theinternet.com.
Yeah.
Type in Google.
I wonder where internet.com takes you.
Probably something terrible.
I don't want to get a virus. I'm not going to go to
it. Flophousepodcast.com or MaximumFun.org.
Yeah. It's a great podcast. It took me a while to get into, but I love it.
I'll tell you what.
Listen to every episode now.
Yeah, they brighten my day, but they're all sweethearts. I've written some songs for them. So I got an email today that someone liked my musical I did.
Really?
For them, yeah.
John Hodgman one?
Yeah, but yeah. Specifically, one of the people that was supporting us, I emailed Dan, and I said, hey.
Dan McCoy.
Yeah, we're starting a podcast. Do you have any advice on like what's helped you? You've been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote me back this big, long email back.
Yeah, like, it was huge.
Genuine. And like...
Yeah, that was really nice.
Just being a really nice guy, and... Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Dan McCoy.
Yep. Oh, wait. I do want to say one more thing, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's actually one of the reasons that he gave his blessing to share our podcast in that group. And we joined the Flophouse Podcasters and met awesome people like Jeff and Malcolm and all.
Well, we met
Owen.
A ton of people.
Yeah.
That are amazing.
And a lot of our listeners now from that yeah. special group.
So shout out to those guys, too.
Yep.
Thank you. Love you guys. Well, John... It's been a while. Do you remember where people can find us?
@strangers still on Twitter?
Yep, that's one of them.
StrangerStillShow.com?
Yep.
MySpace.com/StrangerStill?
I knew there was going to be something like that. No. Okay. I took that one down last week.
Well.
We got a lot of prostitutes. I don't want to go into it.
Okay.
The other thing is, hopefully... At some point, we'll have videos on YouTube. So go subscribe now so that when we upload videos, they will be on your feed.
Yep.
And it's on our website, so just get there from there.
And our primary source, and many of you know with all of your new cute faces, is on our Facebook group. That's where we like to hang out and chill.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Facebook group, I don't have any listener questions this week, but I do have some of our listeners' recommendations from the Facebook group for bad movies.
Yeah.
So if you want some bad ones to go watch, here's some good recommendations. So, Jeff T. Says that Anaconda and Batman and Robin were his all-time favorite midnight shows at the theater back when we'd screen the movies just to make fun of them. He worked at a movie theater for a long time, so he got to see a bunch of movies as many times as he want for free. And Anaconda, I saw that when I was way too young. I don't remember anything about it. But Batman and Robin.
Good job.
Bat suit nipples.
Whoa.
All I gotta say. That's all I got to say.
Turn down the shade, says Nick Wood.
Yeah.
Put send your wife back to, on your... to the yep. gym and whatever wife stuff
yeah.
store.
He also recommended The Room, which I've talked about, which is Tommy Wiseau's passion project. It's bad. It's not even... I don't even think it's good bad. I think it's just bad bad.
Huh.
He wrote it, starred in it, directed in it. That was a weird sentence. You gotta watch it. It's so bad.
Okay.
It's worse than Human Centipede 3.
I don't want to see any of those either. I've already seen all the stupid, disturbing movies.
Yeah.
I'm done.
But he started off... I've heard different reports of his views on The Room. Because he started off being completely serious about it, about the whole story and everything. All the acting was supposed to be super serious. And then everyone started making fun of it. And I've heard it go both ways, where he was like super pissed and like, what do people understand? And the other way, where he leaned into it and was like, yeah, it's a comedy.
That makes me really sad, though.
Yeah. Because it's...
Poor guy.
I know. I feel bad for him, but it's not good.
Yeah.
It's so not good. Hillary M. said, Dead and Breakfast. She said, the best awful movie ever. I've never even heard of it.
Okay. Me neither.
You neither?
Me neither, too.
You neither, too? Electric Boogaloo? Sharknado from Nick S.
Come on, Nicholas.
It wasn't me.
Well, isn't it Nicholas?
My name, yeah.
No.
Nick S.
Nick S.
Yeah.
Was probably also named Nicholas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I meant.
Oh, okay. Thought you were talking to me.
There's other Nicks out there. None of them especially. Okay, that's fine.
I'm a special little snowflake. I think everyone's at least heard of Sharknado, but I haven't seen it. Have you?
Parts of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Any good?
It's not they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it takes away from it.
Yeah.
They're trying to make them bad.
That's less fun. But like Kung Pao is still really good. I don't know.
A little racist maybe. I don't know. From what I remember. Yes. Kung Fury. A little different. Yeah. We'll watch it.
Jess B. said Hobgoblins. I wasn't able to find anything on that movie.
It sounds familiar. And it's probably awesome. She's got good taste.
Troll 2. Is like
I want to see that go-to. So bad.
I haven't seen it.
And I haven't seen Gremlins 2, but that's a good movie.
I haven't seen it. I just watched the first one because... Did I tell this story already? I had a friend that really, really, really liked the Gremlins. I think I told this on a Shelby episode. But I never watched Gremlins all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen probably all of it, just bits and pieces, because whenever I went over, it was just on their TV. I have no idea why. But I just watched it all the way through in one sitting the other day on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about rebooting it.
Good.
As long as it's good, I don't care.
Oh.
They said that they want to go back to the roots of the first one, where it's like a dark comedy, instead of the second one where like it went family friendly. Which is a weird thing that happened with 80s movies.
I don't know the second one.
The second Gremlins?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I haven't either. But like in the 80s, there would always be these semi-scary movies, and then the second one would come out, and it would just be a family comedy. Like, once again, examples are fleeting my mind.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, but I'll think of them while I'm laying in my bed tonight, having anxiety about this episode recording. Speaking of, have you seen Black Mirror? I'm going way off topic. I'm 3 episodes in.
I haven't seen them in order, but there you could skip around. It's great.
Yeah, I know. But first of all, if anyone hasn't seen Black Mirror, I recommend it. But I need to tell you the premise of the show, because I went into it knowing nothing.
Okay.
I was so confused. It's a modern reworking of The Twilight Zone, and every episode is a standalone story about the scary stuff of technology.
Yep.
That's all you need to know. Season 1, Episode 3. It's the last episode of the season, because it's British and that's what they do. It's like the perfect representation of what's like living with anxiety. So if you're ever like, why are you so anxious? Why are you so depressed? Just get over it. Go watch that episode. You'll understand. It's what it's like, except you can't choose your memories as you watch. That's the one where he has the memory thing and he can look back on his memories. Have you seen that one?
And pick and choose them? I don't remember.
Oh, well, they have like these implants And they can, like, it stores all their memories so they can go back and play through them. So, like,
it has
It has, like, all these awkward moments where they're just, like, sitting back and watching awkward moments, or it goes way downhill, but it's a really accurate representation of living with anxiety. It's bad.
Neat.
No. Some other recommendations. Anything by M. Night Shyamalan?
Hmm.
At all?
He had one good one, didn't he?
Sixth Sense. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
That's like the one good one. I haven't seen it. I went and watched Unbreakable because people said that was good.
I heard that was good too.
I don't like it.
All right.
Because, like, M. Night Shyamalan's thing is all about twists, right?
Yeah.
The twist is, like, so bleh.
Well.
Like, I expected it to be something awesome, and it spends the whole movie building up. What's his face?
Bruce Willis. How could you forget his name? He's got that classic line. I'm Bruce Willis, and today I'm unbreakable.
Yeah.
Remember that part?
Yeah, I do remember that part. But, like, they spend the whole movie building him up, and then he has one conflict, and then, like, the movie's over. And I didn't even realize that it was ending, because they reveal the twist, and I was like, well, yeah. Wait, that was the twist? And now the movie's over and credits are rolling?
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
You ever read M. Night Shyamalan's cookbook?
No.
Oh, he's got this awesome recipe for a cake.
Yeah.
You put all the batter and the flour and everything, and you get everything going in. And then you flip it upside down, it's the souffle, and you're like, oh my god.
What a twist.
Yeah. He has a really good cinnamon twist recipe in there, too.
The last recommendation I have is Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is by the infamous Ed Wood.
Yep.
Worst movie ever.
Fair.
That's all I got, man. Got anything else?
No.
Any other bad movie recommendations you want to put out there? Go see Out Cold. It's pretty good.
Kung Fury knows it's funny, and just good.
I gotta figure out this.
Ricky O is good. I like foreign films.
Yeah, you do. Friggin' hipster.
Good movie. Go watch Early Spring, Late Fall, and all those. Summer.
You're just saying times of the year.
Yeah, they're movies.
Oh, okay. The movie I was thinking of was Kung Fu Hustle. That's what I was thinking of.
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good one.
White people. Yeah, sure.
White people.
We'll watch Kung Fury.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay. All right, well, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this has been
Stranger
Steel.
Muhahaha. You sound like a villain there.
You're welcome.